This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
Hi, how are you? My name's Simon Smart. You're listening to Life and Faith from the Centre for Public Christianity. I'm talking with Justine Toe again today, and we're going to talk about online commenting. Now, this is an area, Justine, you and I have both noticed, we're not alone, lots of people are noticing this, that it can get pretty personal and vicious. People who write articles in just about any space, if you read the comments afterwards, they're very often very, very critical. This is something you've noticed, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I've always found it really, you know, unfair in a way, that if I'm prepared to write an article in a public space and put my photograph, put my name, put my qualifications and ways that people might contact me onto that site, it strikes me as incredibly unfair that people can just stand behind the sidelines, make these really snide comments that are then, you know, immortalised on the internet for everyone to see. And I'm like,
and
thanks
you don't
very
have
much, right?
You don't have an opportunity to respond, really. I mean, you can't. There's lots, often hundreds of these things. We've experienced this ourselves. I've had a couple of choice ones. I try not to read comments too often, but I remember a couple that that stick in my mind. One that said, "I'm sorry, Simon, what a lot of pointless, empty platitudes you write." You should be ashamed of yourself. I thought it was a relatively inoffensive article as well. But that's the kind of the flavour of the things you often get. And it sometimes gets a lot nastier than that, I have to say.
Yeah, absolutely. And it has struck me that this is an issue that's been in the press, I think, recently, from a number of different examples. One that's really caught my attention is the Sydney Morning Herald columnist Paul Sheehan. He recently wrote an article about online comments because he was inundated with hate mail after he wrote about the Rugby World Cup match between Australia and New Zealand. Now, in this story, he talked about how, you know, the New Zealanders do the haka before
the
actual...
I do, indeed.
The
war
sure,
dance before
I didn't
the,
have to let you know about it. Anyway, Paul Sheehan was saying that the haka was fantastic, but it shouldn't have this throat-slitting gesture at the end of it, because he's saying that that's really brutish and completely out of place.
It's relatively new. It used not to be like that, but they've introduced this sort of throat-slitting gesture, which he was questioning whether that's something we want to promote.
Yeah, absolutely. And so he wrote this article, and then he wrote another column a week later just talking about the incredible response that that first article had received. People had said that his work was absolute garbage, of such a low standard, nonsense, old, tired, xenophobic, ill-informed, gutter journalism. But these comments also veered into personal territory. You know, he was called an idiot, a racist, narrow-minded, and he writes, "The overwhelming bulk of posted comments are anonymous, spontaneous, and negative, with a heavy bias to vicious."
Yeah, and that, as you said before, more and more people are talking about this. This is for a newspaper column. I mean, Sheehan mentions that anonymity on the online commenter. Do you think this is the main problem?
Yeah, I think that is. Anonymity is really key to it. The fact is that, the fact that there's no need to declare who you are means that you can be absolutely awful and no one need know that that was you. It means that people don't need to take responsibility for what they say. I mean, one time on an article, I remember I wrote it and then someone responded back, "Just what we need, someone who is an overeducated, underemployed academic." And I was like, that's so true. That totally is me. But at the same time, it was like, well, if I was there in the flesh, I really doubt that person would have said that to my face.
There's no personal interaction, which takes away any sort of sense of how you might be slightly, you might measure what
yes,
you say.
Yes, absolutely.
You just pounce it and throw it and you don't care what the response might be.
That's right. So it's the anonymity is a huge part of that. But, I mean, also spontaneity, as Sheehan mentions, it plays this big part because there's no time for reflection. You just tweet or you just email and it's out instantly.
At the very least, there seems like there's a lack of humility involved in these sorts of comments. People don't consider their own failings. They just let fly at others.
Yeah, absolutely. I remember reading an article and it observed that we don't throw stones anymore. We tweet them, which I think is really apt. And it does remind me of a story told in John's Gospel of a woman who's caught in adultery. Now, that's not really that relevant for the purposes of this illustration. But what I find interesting about this is that the mob demands that this woman be punished immediately for what she's done. So this mob brings her to Jesus and says, "Why don't you condemn her straight away?" But, you know, what Jesus does is he actually interrupts the anonymity and the spontaneity that online commenting usually is a product of. He actually just says, why don't you consider your own behaviour first and then consider whether you are qualified to pass judgment on someone else? You know, think about what you've done. And then he also just says, take a moment to think about that. So that's that really interrupts that spontaneity as well. And I think that's a really amazing combination because it means that people, like, they've come with bloodlust, but now they leave, you know, not having carried out the judgment that they wanted.
A little bit of self-reflection can be helpful and restraint in these situations, can't it? So Jesus on online commenting. Thanks
there you
for
go.
That, Justine.
Thanks for listening. Start your day with Life Words. Subscribe to Hope 1032's free daily email devotional at hope1032.com.au.